VSiN's Betting Across America is live from the South Point Hotel and Casino right here in Las Vegas. Happy Sunday to you out there. Hope you are winning your bets and enjoying a beautiful weekend. That's what we're trying to do right here in Las Vegas, as well as in Denver, where James Salinas joins me as we take our odds and our plays across this country of ours. James, how did yesterday go for you before we get into the big card today?
I was a little up and down early, and then the late action, the only action I had going into the evening yesterday was that prop play with Chris Paul, where it was under 15.5 points. It was juiced towards the under there, but we had talked about the Suns and really the time management within the game that Monty Williams, coach of the Suns, has been instituting, going 10 deep off of that roster to play. And I think lesson learned there. I'm glad that's the only thing I had with that game, because I think looking at the NBA, you know, we're grinding down to the last few weeks before we get to the playoffs, Adam. And I think that game really can epitomize. We're talking about the Suns, right? That number had moved up. There were a number of players for the Spurs coming off a back-to-back. Lost the other night against Portland. Had not been playing well the last few weeks. Had a number of players, talked about load management, that were resting yesterday. DeMar DeRozan, one of their leading scorers, being one of those, along with a host of other players that didn't show up to play for the Spurs, but really the entire team for the Suns didn't show up to play. So, you know, motives, they were going on that long road trip like we talked about too. I think there's so much that we got to dig into with scheduling right now of where these teams are, because ultimately I think for the Suns, who got blown out yesterday in that game against the Spurs as a hefty favorite, their bags were already packed looking forward to that big road trip going on the Eastern Conference here starting tomorrow.
111.85, they lose as 12.5 point dogs, and it was 9.5 in the morning when we were talking about it. And even then, we were talking about the fact that we didn't know exactly what the Suns were going to do in terms of who was going to play. And as you said, not much in terms of who actually did get out on the court and who played while they were out there. Let's talk about what's going on in baseball this morning, because we have some games that are already underway, and we had some movement, and pretty big movement, on a game earlier this morning with the Diamondbacks and the Nationals. I went to look at this game this morning. It was off the board, and here we go again with Steven Strasburg. He has been dominant when healthy, but when healthy has been a key phrase for Steven Strasburg. To the disabled list with shoulder inflammation, replaced by Paolo Espino against Madison Bumgarner. Nationals go from big, big favorites down to minus 140. Diamondbacks coming back plus 130. Total now sitting at 9. You were pretty actively, I believe, against Madison Bumgarner at one point this year. Madison Bumgarner is the Diamondbacks, I want to say de facto number two or three pitcher at this point, but that's not saying much considering what he's been early this year.
Well, and for Mad Bum, obviously, he's nowhere close to the same caliber of pitcher that he was when they were making those magical World Series runs, and he was so dominant in those couple of World Series for the San Francisco Giants a few years back. But now he really just struggles with his command and falls behind in counts and works a lot of deep counts. Still can strike people out because he's gonna pitch up above the strike zone. That's where he lives, but just doesn't command the fastball the way that he once did. And so because of that, once that came off, and unfortunately for Strasburg, somebody who's been a very talented pitcher, but just has dealt with so many injuries throughout his career. So unfortunate situation for him and the Washington Nationals going there with the Espino. Didn't know anything about him. And obviously, Arizona welcomed him to the start because they went off. Rojas led off the game with a home run. The Diamondbacks are up 1-0 here. I did play this game, but I didn't play the side or the total. What I looked for was looking to fade Mad Bum again. I didn't want to take the Nats, especially they were laying like $1.50 with this young kid having to fill in as a spot starter for Strasburg being out. But what I did find was looking at a couple things with Mad Bum. His earned run, he was the total for him was going to be over 2.5 for Mad Bum. I liked it there, but it was juiced too high for me at $1.40. But what I did find was $1.15 on Mad Bum to pitch less than 15 and a third or 15 and a half outs. So basically, it would be 5 1/3 that he had to go through. And he just works so many deep counts that he really hasn't stayed around in these games that long this season. So if you look at his game log here, he's pitched his last start against Oakland. He went 4 2/3 innings and he threw 98 pitches. He had 3 walks. He still had 5 strikeouts, but gave up 6 earned runs. Like, it's just been a struggle for him all season long. He hasn't pitched above 5 innings in any of his 3 starts this year. The best he had was 5 against Colorado, and they tagged him up pretty good as well. 5 earned runs, 4 Ks, and 2 walks. So that's the only play I made here, just continuing to go against Mad Bum. Unfortunately, he was a terrific pitcher. I was definitely a big fan of his, but I'm a bigger fan of cash and tickets, Adam, and that's why my ticket is I'm betting against Mad Bum under 15.5 outs today, priced at $1.15.
An ace who is still pitching like an ace, although it's been a rough start to the year for him, is Aaron Nola of the Philadelphia Phillies. They're just underway at home against the St. Louis Cardinals. And Aaron Nola goes off as a $1.75 favorite, a little late money pushing that up a bit more. Plus 160 on the Cardinals, who throw John Gant, one of the guys at the back of their rotation. Both teams come into the game 7-7, total of 8 juiced to the under. Nola's had a little issue with his command early on in the year.
Yeah, and he hasn't. And it was actually priced out here when I looked at this about an hour ago. It was sitting at $1.90 in favor of the Phillies, and that's way too big of a price point for me in Major League Baseball to lay. I don't typically lay too much more than maybe $1.40 or $1.50, given the circumstance. So here, way too much on Nola, where, yeah, he has been struggling a little bit. I mean, he's got to be – I think that obviously they really need him today because they need him to have to go and eat some innings. So I was digging around for maybe some props with him, but nothing that really jumped out to me here. I think for Philly, they do have Bryce Harper back in. He did not pitch yesterday with a bad back. But, you know, since they started off 4-0, they've lost 7 out of 10, have the Phillies, and just struggling to string together any kind of consistency right now on the offensive side. And then, you know, you talked about it. You were surprised Matt Moore was back in the league. Well, the Cards sure were happy to see him because they absolutely obliterated Matt Moore in his start yesterday for the Phillies here. And, you know, it was nice to see Yadi went yard ball a couple times too, and so did Nolan Arenado here, former Rocky, now got a gift deal to go to the Cardinals. So no play for me here. I wanted to back Nola, but that's way too big a price point for me, Adam, especially this early in the baseball season.
Let's get to the Yankees and the Rays. I faded the Rays yesterday. I should say faded the Yankees with the Rays yesterday, with Tyler Glasnow going a little bit of a sweat later in the game, but the Rays win the game 6-3. The Yankees are in an absolute tailspin right now, 5-9 on the season. And they've got who they hope is their antidote, Gerrit Cole, on the mound today. And the Yankees, big, big favorites, minus 240. The Rays coming back plus 200, 7.5 total. Under is minus 105. I have a couple of plays in this game here, James, but I want to hear what your thoughts are on a team like the Yankees, where you've got the ace going, but at the same time, the offense has just been anemic for this team, and they're facing a team that they've really struggled against in the Rays.
Well, and you talked about the anemic offense for the Yankees. Yeah, they're yanking themselves up because they're swinging at everything. It's just that their approach at the plate, outside of like LeMahieu, he'll keep his hands in. He'll go with the pitch. He'll go the other way. For the most part, these guys and the stadium is built for that there in New York, where short porches, and we know that the ball can carry in that short bandbox of a stadium. But too many times they fall behind in counts. The approach is it's all or nothing for them. And, you know, this is where you're playing a Rays team that it's maybe their rivalry. It's their rivalry for sure. Maybe we know that the Yankees, their rival is going to be the Red Sox, but for the Rays, this is what they look like for the Yankees, because, you know, it's the tale of two price points when it comes to the actual what the dollar figures are spent on payroll for both of these teams, with the Yankees being near the top every year and the Rays being at the bottom near most every year. So here it is. I didn't play this. It's way too big a price. I know Gerrit Cole, he's a terrific pitcher, and he started off he's been virtually untouchable so far this season. 18 innings, already 29 strikeouts, and only 3 walks. So you have to earn it if you want to beat Cole. I typically stay away from some of these games with the Rays, Adam, and some of these other teams that are doing this too, where they just put the opener out there, because then I just don't really know what that's going to look like from inning to inning, because it is really, you know, Cash may have a game plan going in, but that is going to be situational and circumstantial based on where the game is at this point. So I think it's going to be a low scoring game, like you said, as far as with Cole out there and the Yankees struggling to hit the baseball. You know, the last 9 games, they're 2-7. And they've only scored 31 runs, and they've struck out 84 times. So that kind of epitomizes what I thought the Yankees would be this season, and they're definitely living up to those low expectations I had with their approach at the plate.
Andrew Kittredge is the opener for the Tampa Bay Rays. Gerrit Cole sets them down 1-2-3 in the first with 1 strikeout. I did take the money line on the Rays. I love a price that big on a team that just is playing significantly better baseball. And if you watch the Yankees, what you're seeing with them is it's not just what you mentioned, James, with the strikeouts, which is a big problem because they can't sustain a rally. The fundamentals are not there for the Yankees. They're running themselves into outs on the base paths. They had 3 errors and 1 hit midway through the game yesterday. And so when you see the type of baseball they're playing, Gerrit Cole can only fix so much for them. So I played that. Also, it was even money, and this was the better side of the juice, on under 9.5 strikeouts for Gerrit Cole. 3 starts this year, he's gone 8, then 12 against the Baltimore Orioles, and then 8 again. So the Rays are a team that I think is either going to put the ball in play or at least make them work for it. So under 9.5 Ks for Gerrit Cole. We get to game 1 here of doubleheader between the White Sox and the Red Sox. And Tanner Houck, the highly touted prospect for the Red Sox, greeted rudely by Tim Anderson. That's a leadoff home run for the Chicago White Sox, who go up 1-0 in the top of the first over the Red Sox. Total of 7 in this shortened game. Red Sox minus 108. White Sox with Dallas Keuchel are the very, very short dog at minus 102.
Well, I'm glad to hear that they already got on the board, because the only play I have here, I did play first 5 over. It was sitting at 4 plus money. It was plus 100, so even money going over the first 5 total at 4. Just feel like you said, Tanner Houck just got called back up here, a spot start again. He had pitched earlier this season, but was sent down to Rochester, and they brought him back for this spot start. And how does that affect the kid's psyche when you're a hot prospect, but you're there to start the season and you're going back down and now you're coming back up? Just, I'm not really sure where that looks like for a young kid and how they deal with that and how the ego gets massaged to deal with that. But it was partly there that I like the over here with the 4, but more so with the Red Sox offense going against Keuchel. I mean, Keuchel he's another one of these guys that just lives on the outside of the plate, does not challenge hitters, will work deep counts. And what I've seen so far with the Red Sox this season, will throw out that freezing cold series against Baltimore where they got swept in Fenway to start the year, was these guys have, I see an approach at the plate with the Red Sox, and they're looking to work counts. They're looking to go the other way with the ball if they're not getting pitched and challenged inside. And I think Keuchel is the perfect team, or Boston matches up very well with Keuchel, because I think they will work the count and they will take what the pitcher gives them, which is going to be a lot of pitches away, a lot of junk away. I think they'll stay back on the baseball and try to drive the ball the opposite way. I've been seeing them do that quite a bit this season. So I like their approach to the plate here. And just sitting at 4, I was kind of surprised the number was just that 4 with these 2 pitchers stepping out onto the mound. And this is really the best weather that they've seen in Boston for quite a while. So it's going to be in the 50s, which is going to seem balmy there, considering how bad the weather has been for the Red Sox wherever they play, whether they've been playing at Fenway or just that series in Minnesota with they're playing in the snow. I think the hitters will appreciate some warm hands today, and I look for some good swings on their approach against Keuchel.
You know, we have a game that I was a little surprised to see this. Major League Baseball, this is actually their youth outreach game between the Indians and the Reds, because Bieber against Miley. So will it be Cleveland saying, baby, 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 what a start? Or will it be a party in the USA for Wade Miley and the Reds? Well, I'll tell you what, Jose Ramirez came in like a wrecking ball with a home run at the top of the first inning for the Indians. 1-0 Cleveland. Cleveland came in minus 155, Reds plus 145, 7 to the over minus 120.
Well, I wish I could follow up with your pop music references there, Adam, but this, I'm an old timer, man. I'm still stuck in the 70s and 80s when it comes to my style of music. So I'm definitely not hip with what's new today. But with that said, looking at this matchup here, we talked about the sloppiness of how the Yankees have been playing. The Reds are just not a team. I saw it last year. Maybe it was because I bought into the hype in the shortened season last year, where I didn't choose them to go to the World Series, but I did pick them to win their division, and they were just awful. I watched them a lot last season. Talk about approach at the plate, or lack of approach at a plate. This is another free swinging group of guys up there that it's all or nothing for this team. And then they don't run the bases well. It's like the baseball sense, there isn't any. I was watching that game yesterday afternoon, and they were very fortunate, number one, to beat the Tribe yesterday. The Reds tried everything they could to run themselves out of that game, ran themselves out of the inning a number of times. So I did play this here. I did play Shane Bieber. I think he's going to dominate today. I found a nice prop here. Over 18 and a half innings for Bieber, plus 120. I think he definitely works into the seventh inning. He's been doing it so far all season long. I like that prop. That's the only play I have in this matchup.
Bryce Harper just hit a ball roughly to Maryland. That was impressive to see. Phillies on the board here on Betting Across America. Coming back with more in a moment. It is Betting Across America presented by BetMGM from here at the South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Adam Candy joined by James Salinas in Denver, Colorado, as we talk about the lines and odds from across America here on VSiN, the sports betting network. A couple of quick updates for you. You mentioned that Philly home run, and we also had one in Cleveland, as I mentioned, for Jose Ramirez. We have one more baseball game that's underway to get to here in a moment. Want to get you a quick hockey update, as Boston is holding a 2-1 lead over the Washington Capitals at the beginning of the second period, if you are interested in getting involved there. A couple more hockey games coming up on the early side. Rangers and Devils, Penguins and Sabres. I do have one play on the Rangers and Devils. Over 6 at plus money, plus 105. On that game. These two teams combined to put up 9 goals yesterday, and the goaltending is not getting any better here for either side. Shesterkin went yesterday for the Rangers. You're going to get the lesser half of the goaltending tandem today for the Rangers. It's a 3:08 Eastern start. Penguins and Sabres on the early side as well. Giants and the Marlins is the other baseball game that we need to get to here, as it's just getting underway here, James. Got Alex Wood going against Pablo Lopez for the Marlins. Marlins minus 141. Little money came in on them toward the end there. Plus 131 on the Giants. Total of 8. And we are in the bottom of the first with no score, as a couple teams 500 or better here in the Giants and Marlins, and I'm not sure everybody expected.
Well, and Marlins, young team, and after a really slow start, have been playing very well and playing very hard recently. So this is a very scientific handicap that I do here with the Marlins on Sundays when they play at home, Adam, against non-division opponents, where it's just their opponent's one trip in to Miami. It is the South Beach factor, and that's something that I've been playing for quite a while on Sundays, and this was the scenario that it came up. Now, I didn't play it today because we know with COVID last year it wasn't impactful because everything was a shutdown due to COVID, and not really sure. I think we've seen some things going down there on South Beach the last couple of months, especially with spring break, where it looked like no restrictions and it's party time down there with festivities along the coastline. This has been something that it's interesting that I've seen it when the Saturday game with their opponent, it's kind of an earlier start, which was yesterday, and then those players players, as in this case, the Giants, kind of going out and enjoying the festivities in South Beach and then not coming in quite as focused that next early start on that Sunday morning and then ready to get out of town. So a lot of times it takes them a few innings to sweat out their interest from last night down there in South Beach. I didn't play this one here because I wasn't sure I was ready to back Lopez at a pretty good price. It was roughly around $1.40. So sometimes this has been an auto fire for me on the Marlins at home on those Sunday situations. This one applied, but I did not bet it this time.
First start of the year for Alex Wood, who's bounced around since leaving the Dodgers. On the other side, the home run ball has been a problem for Pablo Lopez. In 10 and two-thirds innings, he's allowed three of them so far. So that game in the bottom of the first. Around the National Basketball Association, we do have two games going here at the moment. The ESPN game is the Knicks and the Pelicans. These two teams already faced off earlier in the week with the Knicks getting the victory. 13-10 Pelicans, 4:47 remaining in period number one. The game went off as a pick'em. And double checking here on the total at close. Actually, 218. Oh, well, moved all the way to 1.5 for the Pelicans. Wow, that was a big late move from what I would have been looking at. 218 on the total. You also have the Pacers and the Hawks going at it here on the early side. So the association with a couple of quick starts here on the early side, and the Hawks 30, the Pacers 10 with 3 minutes remaining in the first quarter. Hawks were 2-point favorites, 231.5.
Yeah, they're up. Yeah, 30-10. I didn't play that one, but I was interested. I'm going to look at this end game right here. I was surprised that the number was going and money was coming in on the Pelicans. This is just not a team that I trust. They're 9-17 on the road. They're not good. They're not a good defensive team. They just lost at home by 10 to the Knicks just the other day, and the Knicks have won five straight. And I think this is where for four quarters, yeah, the Knicks have their own holes. They're not a great shooting team, but I think we know that defensively they will compete for 48 minutes. I don't see that happening with the Pelicans right now, so I'm going to be looking at this right now. We've got a live line of Pelicans laying 3.5, so I could potentially get the Knicks here plus 3.5. I think that's something I'm going to monitor because I think I may be looking to take the Knicks in game.
A goal for the Washington Capitals on a 4-minute power play, which means they've tied the game at 2, and they still have about a minute of power play time left against the Boston Bruins in the second period. Get you updated on more from around the sports landscape here in a moment on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. All the spring sports betting action, you need the VSiN experts to stay ahead of the game. The best place to start, VSiN.com, where we're covering baseball, the NHL, NBA playoff races, the NFL draft, and every game on the schedule to give you the betting edge. While you're there, get the latest Vegas odds and check out our bet tracker and our parlay calculator tool. Read in-depth articles from our team, including betting strategies from basic to advanced theory. And you can also listen to our VSiN shows 24/7 for free. Start your daily betting at VSiN.com. And while you're there, check out our subscription options starting at $22 per month. This is unofficial, by the way, but the basic theory will come from me today. And the advanced theory will come from James Salinas in Denver. I'm Adam Candy from the South Point here in Las Vegas on Betting Across America from VSiN. We have updates from baseball because we have home runs from baseball. James, you like those all or nothing Yankees. Well, they gave you the all here as Giancarlo Stanton with an opposite field home run. And that'll do it for the Rays opener, Andrew Kittredge, in the bottom of the second. 1-0 lead for the New York Yankees, backing Gerrit Cole, who went off as a big minus 240 favorite. You mentioned earlier Arizona with a 1-0 lead over the Washington Nationals. A Bryce Harper home run has put the Philadelphia Phillies ahead. Giants have a threat going against the Marlins. down in Miami. So clearly no milk and cookies hangover for the Giants early on here. We will see how that plays out as we move along. James, let's get to some of the NBA action coming up later today. I think one of the more interesting games on the card, even without James Harden in the lineup, the Nets visiting Miami to take on the Heat. Nets 3.5-point favorites, 224. That's actually ticked up a little bit on that total. 3:30 p.m. Eastern start. No James Harden, as I mentioned. No Victor Oladipo for the Heat. Jimmy Butler, Andre Iguodala, both questionable. We're probably just starting to get the 1:30 Eastern injury reports right now. Hasn't seemed to matter much for the Nets, James, as to which of their superstars is in the lineup. They still continue to score the basketball. They do face a good defensive team in the Heat.
Yeah, I think this is where with the Heat, you talked about some of the Victor Oladipo, no availability for certain players, and no heart right now and no toughness being called out by Jimmy Buckets to his teammates the other night after losing to the lowly T-Wolves and didn't finish up that Western Conference road trip very well, where complete no-show in Minnesota the other night, and he called it out, and Jimmy Butler is going to do that. Tough-minded guy that he is, he's calling out his teammates, saying that they're soft and they're afraid of contact. He's talking about Bam needs to play some more bully ball, and they're basically looking to the officials. And this is not the only team that's looking to the officials too often to look to get bailed out and don't want to play through contact. So I'm not going to play this game here. This actually number right now in Denver, Adam, is bumped up. Nets are 4.5 now with that total sitting at 223. I'm not going to play this one here. I want to see how Miami responds. I mean, I really like Colt Spoelstra there, and I'd love what we saw out of the Heat during the bubble and the playoff run, getting to the finals and competing the way that they did. But, now those young players, the expectation is now that you've done that, now you're going to have to step up, compete, and do that again throughout the regular season. And, it's been a challenging season anyhow for the Heat through a lot of injuries and then a lot of COVID issues earlier a couple months back for Miami. So I really just want to see, how do they respond? What does that look like for Butler? Now, I know he's questionable to the play or not, but you're going to question your teammates. You better get yourself on the floor too if you're going to call players out for being soft on your team. Better find a way on the floor, Jimmy Bucket. So I suspect he'll probably play, but I just want to see how they respond after getting called out and now actually playing a competitive opponent you talked about in the Brooklyn Nets.
Just getting a look at the injury report, and James, I have bad news for you on that one. Jimmy Butler officially out for the Miami Heat, so I'm guessing that accounts for the move that you are seeing in Colorado on Brooklyn Nets. So Butler is out. That's one of the big changes on this early injury report. Iguodala is in. Obviously, that matters quite a bit less than the Jimmy Butler availability. Moving on down the card, let's get to the Trailblazers and the Hornets. Thing you got to note off the top here, no Damian Lillard for the Portland Trailblazers, who are laying 4 to the Charlotte Hornets. They have injury concerns themselves. Total sitting at 216.5. That has ticked down a little bit. On the Hornets side, I'll make sure I have the most updated information, but both Devontae Graham and PJ Washington were listed as questionable initially for this game, and it appears that they are both still questionable to go for the Hornets. We know they have no Gordon Hayward right now. This was one of the games, James, that I marked to take a look at. I missed the best of getting the under where I would have gone on this game at 221. It's down to, as I mentioned, the 216.5, but I had this marked to see if maybe I could get an in-game under on this one, because the Hornets don't have a lot of scoring options, and obviously things change a lot for the Blazers with no Damian Lillard.
Absolutely, and you talk about Charlotte. The one thing with Charlotte and their injuries, LaMelo Ball's been out for a while with his wrist injury. Gordon Hayward's been out, so has Malik Monk in the backcourt. So, but they've been out for quite a while, so new roles, players have stepped in, and now they're starting to get some more symmetry because they've been filling those spots for the last handful of weeks. But, yeah, I'm with you here. It's just so difficult right now, especially when you're looking at these injuries and game-time decisions to try to make a play now, before this game tips, because you want to make sure that they're available when you talk about, especially like PJ Walker on the interior and Devontae Graham, because they're short at the guard position already with Monk and with Ball being out. But I think here I like the total play as well. When you're talking about that Dame Lillard, everything facilitates through Dame Lillard, and we got to see CJ McCollum step up and hit a game winner the other night in San Antonio. But anytime you're taking Lillard off, you know he's good for 30 plus, sometimes 40 plus any given night, and really limits you offensively here. So I think that would probably be the only way. I'm right there with you, just leaning towards the under, but it would be an in-game play if we're not decisive here as who is actually going to be stepping on the floor for the injury-rattled Charlotte Hornets.
This is kind of NBA basketball. Houston visiting Orlando. No John Wall, no Daniel House, no Eric Gordon. Mo Bamba's questionable. The Magic are laying one. The total is 220.5. I have this marked for potentially looking at an in-game over. Any interest in playing and or watching this?
This is, you said potential. This is going to be, this is open run night in Orlando, right? Who's going to be on the floor? It's, you know, let's get a couple guys. You want to run? I got a couple guys. Let's go. We got next. Let's go down there and play, Adam. We'll see. We can post you up in here. Who knows, right? When you're talking about for Orlando, we've already seen there was a fire sale prior to the trade deadline, and who's now stepping in. It's open tryouts for next season for the Orlando Magic. And, you know, with the Rockets, it's just been a nightmare of a season when Christian Wood went down earlier a couple months back, lost that 22 games straight, whatever that. I stopped counting when it got to 20, so not a play for me in any way, shape, or form.
No, that's some interesting basketball down there. More of it coming up here on Betting Across America from VSiN. Baseball players might not get style points for home runs, but baseball bettors do. New BetMGM customers can turn $1 into $100 when someone goes yard during a game. Sign up for the BetMGM app using VSiN100, and if you place a $1 money line wager on the LA Dodgers or San Diego Padres, you'll get $100 if either team hits a home run. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan dissociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. In Tennessee, call or text the red line. 800-889-9789. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. My challenge, as always, is can I get the rest of the read done before the music from the break fades out? I'm still trying to work on it. It's Betting Across America here from VSiN and VSiN.com. Thanks so much for joining us, spending part of your Sunday afternoon with me, Adam Candy from Las Vegas, James Salinas from Denver, as we continue to make our way through the NBA card for today. And I think the most important one we can get to here for the late card is Oklahoma City and Toronto. No, not because we think it's a great game. Just because we saw about a 5-point line move here when the injury report came out, because the Toronto, don't call them Tampa Raptors, have decided to sit just about everybody today. No Lowry, no Van Vliet, no Siakam, no Ananobi. Last one out, turn the lights off. It's down to a 6-point spread in favor of Toronto against the similarly shorthanded Oklahoma City Thunder, and the total down from 220.5 all the way to 215. I originally had marked this one for a Raptors team total, depending on who would play, because the Oklahoma City Thunder are playing by far the worst basketball in the NBA right now on both sides of the ball. But James, I don't know that I can get involved, considering I probably won't know half the players on the floor at the time of tip.
Well, maybe we should get next down there in Tampa and play in this game. Maybe it's not open run in Orlando. It's going to be down in Tampa here, right? I mean, that's what it's been for OKC. Once Gilgeous-Alexander went down, they were actually competing at least more of a semblance of competition were the Thunder before Gilgeous-Alexander went down. Since he went down about a month ago, they've gone 1-12 without him and some really bad losses too. A number of losses in the 40s. They lose by a game by 50. Was it to Golden State as well? So, yeah, it's just a mess right now for the Thunder. Clearly looking ahead to next season. And I think here for the Toronto Raptors too, you know, they're struggling season all season long with injuries, COVID, living away, home away from home, not being in Toronto all year long. This has got to be a team, even though they're hanging on and they're right around that opportunity to get into that 10th spot into the playoffs. I mean, they're 11 games under 500. They clearly know this is a lot of championship caliber players on this team that have been there and done that a few years ago. Obviously not the same team from a couple years ago, but these guys clearly know that this is not going to be the season. And I think this is a team right now with the Raptors that are probably ready to just start mailing it in. In this case here, they probably could still cover that number because who knows who's going to play for OKC. So maybe we'll just put a group together. Okay, we got some bigs. You want to call Tim Murray? We can get Murray on and have you guys post. I got one good need. Let's just I can facilitate. Let's go down and have some open run. We got next two. That's all I can play with this game.
Look, Amal Shah's like 6'3". Like we can do this. Like I know we can get this done.
Yep.
And you know, you stick humans down the post and nobody's moving him off the block. So all good to go here for the VSiN pickup basketball team. The New York Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays, a threat going here for the Rays against the Yankees here in the third inning as, boy, a couple of ugly defensive plays for the Yankees as Aaron Hicks lets a ball drop from Kevin Kiermaier, first and second with nobody out here for the Rays against Gerrit Cole. Elsewhere, that hockey game that we have been tracking is nothing but scoring. Second period, 3-3 between Washington and the Boston Bruins. So a couple updates for you there to keep you going on potential live games of interest. Finishing up the NBA slate, woof. Kings at the Mavericks. And I say woof for the purpose of watching it, but not necessarily for the purpose of betting it, because this one could be one you might want to get in on, depending on who ends up going for the Dallas Mavericks. Mavs laying 8.5, total 230.5. And as of now, the injury report not looking particularly bad for the Dallas Mavericks. Looks like everybody should be in here tonight against the Kings team that will be thin inside. No Marvin Bagley, no Rashawn Holmes. I don't know. I feel like the game here, even at 230.5, James, might be a little bit low between these two teams. What do you think about the Kings and the Mavericks?
Well, I just think the Mavs here. Well, number one, we'll go back to the Kings. It's De'Aaron Fox, and then whoever else they want to pick up to go out there and make any kind of plays. He's the only player that consistently brings it night in and night out for the Kings. You know, it wasn't that long ago, maybe what 3-4 weeks ago, where they had won about what 5 straight, and had a couple nice wins within that winning streak that felt like, all right, here they come. Maybe they're ready to explode and get competitive in the Western Conference, and maybe steal one of those playoff spots, and since then they've lost 9 straight and just been buried in so many of those games too. So Kings, the party's over there with Sacramento. Playoff hopes, those are dashed and that's finished. But I look at the Mavs here, and you know, it's been, I've heard some things about, well, maybe the coexisted, or maybe they're not coexisting very well offensively between Luka and Porzingis on the floor together. And you know, there's a couple games where they haven't played very well, a couple games where they failed to top 95 points. And in this day and age in the NBA, Adam, that's unheard of right now, especially with a team with like the Mavs that have so much talent here. But I just wonder where their head is at going into this matchup and kind of really looking at their schedule here. They got a very favorable schedule, do the Dallas Mavericks. Starting tonight, their next nine games, they get to play the Kings and the Pistons 5 times over those next 9 games. So I think we'll start to see the Mavericks get healthy here in the standings and start to put up some more wins, because they've been hit and miss, losing 3 out of their last 4. But I mean, I could see, as seeing who's here, I would say probably, yeah, we'd looking towards the over here with the Kings. I think every game with the Kings, you got to look towards the over, because there's only one side of the court they're playing on, and it's not the defensive end.
Rays end up getting an RBI single from Yandy Diaz up the middle. Aaron Hicks kicks another one, allowing the run to score. And Gerrit Cole remains in trouble here. One all game as he gets a generous call on the outside corner there to get strike three to Austin Meadows and help himself out of a little bit of trouble. Last game on the NBA slate this evening. Oh boy, Minnesota Timberwolves are visiting the Los Angeles Clippers. Pat Bev still out. Serge Ibaka still out. Kawhi Leonard listed as questionable. Even given all that, the Clippers are 10-point favorites, total 231.5. That's your late game tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern start.
Yeah, I think with the Clippers, they played really shorthanded the other night in Philadelphia. That felt like a playoff game. They were bringing it. That was a really good competitive basketball game with the Clippers playing. And they ended up losing that game, but really gave great effort, especially shorthanded here. Now you look at this, having to come back home after that road trip, and you're going to come back and face the T-Wolves here. They're 5-23 on the road, are the T-Wolves. It just comes down to these are if I'm playing this game, and I'm probably not going to be playing it, because then if I did, then I'd probably have to be watching it. And the only reason I'd be watching it because I'd be playing in game. Because right now, this is just one of those games that feel like the Clippers probably won't play. And I don't know why they would need Kawhi Leonard to play in this game. They can do just fine without him in this matchup, along with a number of other injuries that they have. But you know, they may sleepwalk for the first half or the first quarter in this game. So that might be something where, all right, maybe you get a much better number on the Clippers as the game progresses, because they didn't show up to play in that first quarter, and maybe Minnesota gets off to some kind of lead or keeps it close. That'd be the only way that I attack this matchup tonight.
They could put Leonard Hamilton and Leonard Cohen out there and they would still be able to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves, so I wouldn't feel too worried if Kawhi Leonard doesn't go for the Clippers tonight. Long fly ball to the warning track in left field against Gerrit Cole brings in another run on a sacrifice fly, and the Rays as $2 dogs have taken the lead 2-1 over the New York Yankees in New York. Elsewhere back in Boston, goals for everyone. Power play goal for the Boston Bruins. They go up by 4-3 score late in the second period against the Washington Capitals. You are now over your pregame total on that one, because good luck finding an NHL total at 7 goals. Elsewhere, we do have a little bit of golf going on today as well. Leaders are not yet on the course at the RBC Heritage, but it's a bit of a throwback today with old Stuart Sink, who has been dominating this tournament out in front of the field. He will tee off at 2:10 p.m. on the final group there, as he and Colin Morikawa are the leaders, but Sink has a 5-shot lead. He's 18 under, Morikawa 13, Maverick McNealy and Emilio Grillo are both at 12 under, Chris Kirk, Matt Wallace, Sungjae Im all at 11, but Sink has been dominant. He has 2 rounds of 63 in this tournament, and last I had looked, he was a minus 275 favorite to go ahead and finish off the victory today. Back in the NBA with live games, you got the New York Knicks and the Pelicans. James, you were talking about looking for the Knicks live, and they have moved ahead 36-31, 7-11 remaining in period number 2. Knicks are 2-point favorites on the live line, live total 210.5. Pacers had been down 20. Welcome back, Indiana. 53-45 is now the lead for the Atlanta Hawks with 4 minutes remaining in the second quarter. Only thing I have going pregame in the NBA today, to your point about what can you rely on, I played Caris LeVert over 20.5 points, so I'll be hoping for the Pacers to do a little bit more on the offensive end of the floor. When we come back, we'll update you on what's going on later today in Major League Baseball, including another fantastic pitching matchup between the Dodgers and the Padres here on Betting Across America.